We're looking at smiles, not just as a smile lock, not just as a size display, but in all three dimensions. So it's really been something that has changed how I diagnose and look at things.
This is the Orthopreneur Show with Glenn Krieger, talking about the things you never learned in school, like marketing, management, and leadership.
So everybody, happy Friday. Welcome to another edition of the 5-Minute Friday. But today's a little different. Instead of you hearing me pontificate, I'm going to let you hear the legend itself, Dr. David Sarver.
Itself?
The legend himself. The legend is so big, David, it's no longer a him or a her, it's an it.
Yeah.
You can tell he's detail-oriented. But I had a chance to spend the weekend with Dr. Sarver recently as we did a Surgidonics. When I say we, I spoke for about an hour, he spoke for about eight. But we had a chance to really see some of the things he's doing, which is remarkable. But at the end of March, on March 25th, Dr. Sarver is going to do an Orthopreneurs University course entitled Smile Projection 2022, The Good, The Bad, and The Not So Ugly. So if you can just take a minute or two and talk a little bit first about what is smile projection first, and then we'll jump into one or two more quick questions.
Well, smile projection actually is something that evolved, you know, really about 3 or 4 years ago. So I hadn't been in practice even 40 years to figure it out. But as you and I covered this weekend, I'd cover a lot of my photography is not straight on, not profile, but it's in the oblique view, which is what I term the social view, which is how patients are seen. And frankly, and this probably is how I lead into the lecture, that it occurred to me, I had a surgery case. Someone who had already been operated on. And by the way, a lot of the lessons I've learned are from my surgical cases. But she was somebody that we did a bimaxillary advancement on and a couple other things. But she was just stunning. And I just, you know, Tricia, my treatment coordinator of 39 years now, and I were sitting there trying to dissect it and go, we made, you know, moderate, not massive movements. What made the difference in that case? And it led to two concepts. One is smile projection and the other is gradation. So as I really took that case apart, it occurred to me that that's really two ways to look at a smile. One that recedes, and that's what got orthodontics in trouble, was
right.
A lot more extractions than we do now, and teeth being retracted into the face. And we always talk about treating to the face. Okay, so that's really where it lives, is that I can retract a smile or I can project it. As Bill Prophet used to say, anything can be overdone, all right? So that you don't want to make it ridiculous. But it sort of really changed how I look at people. It's part of my clinical examination now that we didn't cover this weekend. But part of my clinical examination is to look at the patient, and then to move to the side and look at the patient and how they smile and the angulation of the upper incisor, how many teeth are shown on the oblique view. And then the gradation is what is the size of those teeth progressively from anterior to posterior. And so it really has been a game changer for me. Well, game changer, I hate that cliche. It's used a lot. So I'll use, it's different. I have published it in the Journal of Aesthetic Restorative Dentistry because it is something that I want the dentist, you know, and you practice how long as a general dentist?
20 years.
Yeah. That it's something that I want you to know that as an orthodontist, we're looking at. And so we got hammered for retracting smiles. It's different. We're looking at smiles, not just as a smile lock, not just as a size display, but in all three dimensions. So it's really been something that has changed how I diagnose and look at things immensely.
I've always been a large fan of that lateral sort of oblique view that you like to show. Way, way, way back in the day, I was giving a lecture and I found an article. It was Hillary Clinton. She was smiling way back. I mean, we're talking, it's got to be 80s or 90s. And she was smiling off on an oblique angle on the cover of Time. I think it was Time or Life. I'm pretty sure it was Time. And it showed quite clearly that she had had her front four teeth veneered, crowned, bonded or something, because the front four teeth were white and everything from the cuspid back was kind of yellowish. And clearly, and the funny part was a few months later, she was on a cover again oblique and everything was the same color. So she had clearly seen that photo and fixed it. But it was interesting because it illustrated that here you can have money, wealth, fame, whatever, you know, whatever you want. When you're looking in the mirror, all you're seeing is these front four. You're not necessarily seeing what's happening from the lateral side. And again, if most people did, they'd be sort of shocked and just downright upset if they saw what they look like from the side. And
well, what you described is what I term tonal gradation. In other words, the change in color between anterior to posterior. Also explains why, you know, in four premolar extraction cases, when we're doing veneers, the dentists that I work with like to put a veneer on the mesial of the upper first molar to make it look like a premolar.
Interesting.
So that you get the size gradation, color gradation, and that sort of thing. It also adds it into the equation. So it looks like you've got canine and two premolar.
Nice. Yeah. And whenever I would do, I was taught that whenever I did veneers, either do four front veneers and don't break it at the cuspid, or go back and include both bicuspids at the very least. Because the eye is naturally drawn on an oblique shot to the cuspid. And if you stop at the cuspid, everything behind is going to look bizarre as can be. And
right.
So I'm always just so impressed that your knowledge and understanding of cosmetics, as I hate to say just an orthodontist, right? Because that's what we are. But seriously, what I try to tell orthodontists is, and again, I won't be bashful about saying it, is for most orthodontists to get into orthodontic residencies, they had to be pretty good students. And they probably had pretty good clinical skill. Even though they hate doing restorative, they probably have a better eye and better hands for restorative dentistry than most restorative dentists. And so I just think that with what you're teaching, the ability to look at this and see this, we can take what looks like a really good case and make it an exceptional looking case. And that's why I'm so excited about what you're going to talk about.
I agree totally. You know, particularly since you're complimenting me, I'm in total agreement with you.
The man itself.
anyway, I'm sorry we didn't get to cover that much this weekend because surgery really is where you can really create some incredible, and I'm not going to say aesthetics, appearance.
Yeah.
About how that person, who do you look at when you walk in the room? It's the one who appears. And then you get close up, and I can't remember the Russian model who had crooked teeth, but that didn't seem to bother anybody.
No.
Because she was gorgeous in every other aspect.
Yeah, I think if you're selling a car, they call it like a 10 at 10 or something like that, that the car looks like a 10 from 10 feet away. But when you get up close, you realize it's really a 3 at 3, unfortunately. But yeah, I'm just really excited about everybody getting a chance to hear you speak for 4.5 hours on the idea of smile projection, gradation, all these amazing things that, quite honestly, residencies and most doctors don't talk about. And I appreciate everything you're doing for the profession. The best thing I like about you is that you talk about things from a scientific perspective. So it's not just, hey, this is what I noticed. Hey, this is what I found. Here's some literature to support where I'm coming from. And I really appreciate that about you. And that's what I really enjoy.
Well, it's interesting on the two articles on gradation and smile projection, but there's no evidence that what I'm saying is true. Okay. But in somebody, it'll start getting measured and tested. But the fact is, there are a lot of things that we do that don't reach our septometric targets if we treatment plan that way, or actually I'll take the opposite view, is that how the patient looks and presents clinically overrides any septometric measurements that I may take. And so you practice yours as a dentist, not looking at a septum for upper incisor angulation. You designed your cosmetic cases to look good.
Exactly. And there were people like Frank Spear who made comments about, you know, the lower third of the incisal edge of an anterior tooth should point directly at the floor so that, you know, instead of it being proclined, he didn't use the words proclined or uprighted. He said the lower third of an upper central incisor that's not worn down should point 90 degrees to the floor. And I always use that as a guide. If I couldn't do it, the teeth were proclined. And if the teeth were uprighted, and we kind of know what looks good by the way light reflects off of them as well. Teeth that are proclined, they tend to show the light reflection up by the gingiva. And teeth that are uprighted tend to show the light reflecting off of the incisal edges, and it's or vice versa. But it's not something we talk about very much in orthodontics. And you know, you might motivate me to show that again.
Well, you and I came in the same place, the same room through different doors. You know, you practiced cosmetic dentistry, came in that way.
Yeah,
I practiced orthodontics and started mixing with AAED and the Spears of the world, And then, boom, you end up kind of in the same place. Probably know quite a bit of cosmetic dentistry, as you might imagine.
Yes, you do. And you like to do it. And I love that about you. And so I'm going to let you get back to patients. And I just want to say thank you for taking this time. Okay. Looking forward. People, anybody listening should hopefully sign up for this course on March 25th. The link is attached with this post, I promise. Or you can just go to the Orthopreneurs Facebook group. It'll be in there. And just thank you again, Dr. Sarver. I appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.